Good morning. I'd like to call the Agriculture and Food Finance and Policy Division to order. And we have a quorum. The clerk is going to note the roll. And we have minutes to approve from March 21st. Representative Brand.
Madam Chair, move the minutes from March 21st.
All right. Having the minutes before us, anybody have any changes or corrections, comments? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. The motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. Today we have some bills. We don't have as many as we originally thought we'd have, but we still do have a number of bills before us, and they are going to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. And again, if we have people that had to leave because they have other committees, we'll accommodate as we need to, but I think hopefully we'll be on board. The Ways and Means Committee did adopt the budget targets, and just as an FYI for the Ag and Food Finance Division for 2020 and 2021 is $7.580 million general fund increase over base, so approximately 6.2% increase. That's the same dollar amount as what the governor had recommended in his adjusted supplemental budget recommendation. We know that we have a lot more requests than that amount of money, so as you can well be aware that we're not going to be able to fund every proposal that's come before us, and we have had a lot of good proposals that have come before us. So that's going to be maybe a surprise to no one around the room that we have too many proposals. But we're still trying to get maybe some other things done in other committees. So if you happen to serve on another committee that something is happening that's related to agriculture, let's hope that we can maybe just extend our reach a little bit further. It might not always be through the Ag Committee, so just be aware of that. And the other thing that we found out is we've been pushing to get bills heard, because I originally thought we'd have to do it this week, our omnibus ag finance bill. We have another week. So next week we'll be talking about the omnibus ag finance bill. So just so you're aware of that. And we, I think that's all as far as preliminary announcements that I need to, any questions or no? All right. So we have a bill up, House File 2572. Representative Brand has an Ag Best Management Practice Loan Program, and he also has a testifier. So there's no fiscal note or summary. It's a basic appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Representative Brand.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Move House File 2572 to be included in the omnibus Ag Finance Policy and Bill.
Thank you. That will be for possible inclusion in the bill. Okay, so please present your bill.
Yeah, members and Chair Poppy, I just wanted to bring about the discussion today about House File 2572, seeking new funding for the Agricultural Best Management Practices Loan Program. This is a revolving loan program administered through local units of government to provide low-interest loans to landowners for water quality improvements. Eligible projects cover a wide range of issues, including ag waste management, structural erosion control, conservation tillage improvements, and then also septic systems. The program has been beneficial and has benefited from reserve funds that were established in the recession when loans were tight. But those reserves will soon be gone, unfortunately, because it's been heavily used, which is a good thing, and they were established, but the demand is still increasing for the program. And so there are funds requested already in place that have exceeded the loan's amount balance, similar to what the requests are for this committee for that sort of thing, too. And so there's a balance that exceeds by $14 million. So there's a need. There's a great need that's been demonstrated across our state. And Madam Chair, I have Diane Mitchell with me today from the Environmental Services Officer from the Renville County, here to share more information about the program and how the dollars are being spent in the county.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee. Please just state your name and then provide your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Diane Mitchell, and as Representative Brand acknowledged, I work for Renville County Environmental Services. Mm-hmm. I administer the AGBMP loan program, and I also serve as the Renville County Water Plan Coordinator. Renville County is an agriculturally based county located in southwestern Minnesota. We have participated and utilized the Ag BNP loan program since 1995 when it was established to assist local governments with addressing non-point source pollution issues to protect surfacing and groundwater. And we have utilized the funding for a variety of projects, including septic system improvements, feedlot improvements, conservation tillage equipment, manure storage and handling equipment, and for the replacement and sealing of wells, and most recently for the purchase of easements and establishment of buffers along our drainage systems. In 2016, the Ag BNP loan program actually expanded their lending practices to work with local drainage authorities to implement new buffer requirements. And Rendell County was in the early stages at that time in the redetermination of drainage benefits. And we were interested in utilizing the loan program for the easement acquisitions and buffer implementation. So in 2017, we began to work with the Ag BNP loan staff to create kind of a pilot program to utilize those funds. We modified our loan program within the county to expand for the needs of the drainage authority and coordinate an application that could encompass every landowner within the drainage system, which can include hundreds of parcels. And with a little trial and error, we established an application process to accommodate both the county as well as the Ag BNP loan requirements for lending requirements. Rendell County has 151 public drainage systems, which encompasses about 778 miles of open ditches and a need for 3,112 acres of buffers. To date, we've used the Ag BNP loan financing to purchase easements and establish buffers on seven of those systems. So we do have a long ways to go, and we have quite a bit of need. The availability of Ag BNP loan funds for use by the drainage authorities is somewhat new, and it does increase the opportunity for counties and residents located within a drainage system to finance implementation of water quality improvement projects, conservation projects, and other best management practices. However, there is a need, as you had discussed, and there's just a need to expand the funding for the program due to increased demand. I know in Rendell County that we've seen an even greater need from the ag community to utilize program funding for feedlot improvements, manure handling equipment, and conservation tillage equipment. This may be due probably to the increasing interest rates as well as our current agricultural economy. I know as I was preparing this information yesterday, I actually received a call from a local farmer who had been referred to me because of the Ag BNP loan program. He was interested in purchasing a piece of used strip tillage equipment, and I could tell he was a little hesitant to call me and commented that he was interested in the lower interest rate because things are just really tight right now. And I think this is a message that you would probably hear from pretty much every ag county across the state of Minnesota. I've also seen an increase in a need to help farmers and rural property owners with financing to update aging, deteriorating wells for their households as well as their livestock. Residents living outside of city limits deal with their own type of aging infrastructure, which can limit access to safe drinking water. There are just really no other programs that are available to us to help these rural residents, and so we're very fortunate to have access to Ag BNP loan program to help finance well improvements as well. And we also appreciate the opportunity to utilize the financing for our drainage systems. Last year, we were the only county utilizing the program to finance drainage system easements and buffers. This year, Rendell County, along with two other counties, have requested funding for drainage system projects to establish these buffers. I believe that this is really only the beginning of the need for this program. One of the greatest benefits of using the Ag BNP funds is that it can spread the payments out for the landowners who have to purchase these easements and establish the buffers. If they were to look at an assessment and have to finance that within 1 year, they would be probably paying somewhere between $120 and $140 an acre on those payments. And that could be very cost prohibitive for a number of our landowners. The way we're using the program, we're actually able to help provide that financing over a five-year period of time, which makes it much more affordable. The Ag BNP loan program is flexible, it's user-friendly for landowners, county staff, and local lenders. And as a county environmental office, we want to have as many financing options available as possible to encourage people to to do practices that protect surface and groundwater resources. Although we are requesting you to support an appropriation, it's important to remember that the AGVMP program is a loan. We're not requesting grant funds. It's a loan program and it will revolve for the benefit of farmers, our ag community, rural landowners, and most importantly, for the benefit of water resources. Therefore, we're requesting you to support an appropriation to increase funding for the AGVMP program to assist Greenville County, as well as all of the other counties that rely on the program.
Thanks,
you.
Ms. Mitchell. So just maybe a couple of questions from committee members. I'll just ask the first question. So initially, and maybe Representative Brand, where is the money initially coming from for maybe to support the program as has been identified? Is there money in other areas like legacy funding or the Clean Water Fund? Or I'm just curious if there are other places for funding for this. Representative Brand.
Madam Chair, I'm not familiar with any other requests for this particular funding and where it comes from. I've been working with a number of folks on this particular issue, but I haven't seen anything yet from any of the other folks that might be carrying bills, so I can't really say.
Okay, and maybe we'll eventually have somebody in the audience who might be able to answer that question. I'm just curious. So other questions, committee members? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the testifier, when you talked about the easements for buffers, my ears kind of perked up here. And you also mentioned farmers purchasing easements and easement acquisition. So could you explain again, in Renville County, are you actually, when you talk about buying an easement, what are you specifically referring to?
We are in the process of redetermining our drainage systems in the county, and with that comes the purchase of the easement along that system to create the buffer. Part of this is in requirements of the new buffer law, but it's also when you redetermine a system, it does require a buffer to be established, a perennial vegetation strip along that system. And the entire, all of the residents located on that system then pay for that easement purchase. And in Renville County, with land values being somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000 an acre, that's spread out across the system. Everybody pays into that. So we're using the AGVMP loan funds. This became an eligible practice to purchase those easements and to establish that buffer. And then it's spread across. You know, we set everything then up as an assessment. So that is what we're using the program for. So it's the system itself that's purchasing the easement on behalf of all of the residents who benefit from the use of the drainage system.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. So you mentioned 151 drainage systems. Are these easements pretty much exclusively for the 16.5-foot buffers?
Yes.
Ms. Mitchell. Yes, Representative Anderson.
Just one further question to the bill author. Mm-hmm. Maybe I misheard you, but if this is a revolving loan fund, it can't be running out of money, can it?
Representative Brand.
The money's been used primarily. There's $14 million more need than there's money available right now. And so there are a lot of farmers that are looking. Obviously, we've got a lot of farmers that want to do what's best for water quality improvements in their neighborhoods, but they don't have access to the lending. I mean, they would go to a banker, work with the banker. The banker says, we can do this, but it has to be through this program. And then they, you know, this is a great opportunity for lenders, local farmers, and the counties and the soil water Bowser folks to kind of address this issue together. So, you know, this is a good collaboration between a lot of people in the local areas, but there's a lot of need also.
You know what, I'm going to ask Mr. Sullivan if he would maybe answer the question about where the initial funding came from for this program.
Madam Chair and members, in terms of the initial funding, I know there was federal money that was provided for the AGVMP loan program. And the appropriation, the most recent allocation that I could remember, was in 2009. It was the first legacy appropriations bill after voters adopted a legacy amendment in 2008. And that 2009 laws, Chapter 172, included $2 million the first year and $2.5 million the second year, so a total of $4.5 million from the Clean Water Fund. which is one of the four legacy funds, to the Department of Agriculture for purposes of the Ag BMP loan program.
Thank you. Thank you. Other questions, committee members? All right. Anyone in the audience that wanted to testify in support or in opposition, provide any testimony? I see none. All right. So, Representative Brand, any closing comments?
Yeah. Again, this is to kind of reiterate. We know that farmers widely want to do good things for their soil and water as well. Water quality is really kind of a big buzzword in our state because we've got a lot of it. And I think this is a good resource and a good opportunity for farmers to work, again, in conjunction with the lenders and also the county folks to provide better water quality for these local areas. And so with it, I would just move that this bill be I'll make the motion, rather, that the bill be considered for possible inclusion in the finance bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Brand. So House File 2572 will be laid over. Thank you, Ms. Mitchell, for testimony. Next, we have House File 1084. And Representative Petersburg will come down. And Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that House File 1084 be considered for possible inclusion in the Agriculture Finance Omnibus Bill.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. So, Representative Petersburg, welcome to the division. We do have your bill before us, and we also welcome your testifier, Congressman Penny. So thank you for coming before the committee. And Representative Petersburg, if you want to go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just want to say a few years ago I was had the privilege of being on your committee, and I appreciate being back here again. It's always nice to be in this committee. I am kind of an agricultural background myself, so I appreciate that so much. But this bill is really a bill in order to continue on the grant program that we have had with Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation for a program that has been extremely well attended and has great potential in regards to farm to market and education about marketing for entrepreneurial people as well. And it's at $25,000 each year. And with that, I think more details can be offered with the testifier, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. So, Congressman Penny, welcome to the committee, and just state your name and then provide your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Tim Penny. I'm the president of the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation. It is one of six rural foundations providing community and economic development programming across the 80 non-metro counties in Minnesota. In our foundation, one of our economic development priorities is local foods, and that has led to the creation of a local foods feast festival that's been held at the Rochester Civic Center now for the past 5 years. The Department of Agriculture has been involved as one of the main sponsors of this event. Each of those 5 years, this legislation would assure ongoing funding for the next two fiscal years so that the Department of Ag could stay involved with this event. There is in front of you a 3-4 page fact sheet of the most recent event. This event, again, is held on the first Friday and Saturday of December every year. It is designed to raise public awareness and public understanding of the local foods sector here in our state. It is surrounded by an awful lot of publicity. There's even a Feast magazine that's distributed all across the state in advance of this event. A lot of other media coverage to raise public awareness of the importance of the growing local food sector here in Minnesota. It's also an opportunity for local food producers and processors to get business and marketing training, because the Friday of this event is always a training day for those local food producers. We have on-site sales at this event. Typically between 1,500 and 1,600 people attend this event each year. Last year we were down a little bit because of a snowstorm, but we still had 1,300 people come through the event, and it's become an annual event that people look forward to in the holiday time frame. There are significant online sales for each of the exhibitors at the event. We had about 100 exhibitors this last year, and that also is summarized. This covers everything from packaged goods, canned goods, jams, syrups, sauces, processed foods, as well as a handful of local breweries and local wineries that exhibit at the event. This also gives these roughly 90 exhibitors each year an opportunity to be exposed to 40 to 50 institutional buyers, grocery stores, restaurants, and others that are interested in buying in large quantities some of the local foods that are being exhibited at this event. So it's a great networking opportunity for these local food producers to meet not only with these potential buyers, but also with one another. And we've seen a lot of collaborations that have grown out of those exhibitors that participate in the event. Again, the Minnesota Department of Ag has been involved each of the 5 years of this event. Our foundation continues to be another major funder of this event. Other groups have been involved, including the Minnesota Farmers Union, AURI, and others. The Minnesota Grocers are now taking an interest in sponsoring this event. So we think it's going to grow and become an even more significant local foods initiative here in our state as the years go by. I believe this is in the Department of Agriculture's base budget, but it never hurts to double cover, which is why I'm pleased that Representative Petersburg has sponsored the bill this year.
Thank you. Are there any questions from committee members? Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess my question would be, is MDA providing any other additional support other than the grant?
Well, they do. They are involved to some extent in the planning for the event every year. They do have a booth at the event where they then can promote and make folks aware of the other local foods-related services, loans, grants that are available through the Department of Ag. And so we consider them a very hand-in-glove partner in this event every year.
Thank you. Thank you,
Madam Chair. Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience who wanted to testify in support or with any concerns about this bill? I don't see anybody rising up. Any other questions from committee members? Otherwise, thank you. Representative Petersburg, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a good program, and I'd like to just stress that, offer my support to this as well. With that said, Madam Chair, I would renew my motion that this be considered possibly to be held over for possible inclusion.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Petersburg and Congressman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
House File 1084 will be laid over. And so next we have House File 453, Representative Anderson. And Representative Anderson, you want to go ahead? We do have the bill in our packet here, and there is also, I believe, fiscal note. So it is all together here. So Representative Anderson, if you want to move your bill.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to move House File 453 for possible inclusion to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Ag Finance Bill. And yes, it does have a very small fiscal note attached to it, Madam Chair.
I should say it has a fiscal note information in here. It really doesn't significantly.
This bill is kind of the second go-around for it. It was part of last year's supplemental budget bill that was eventually vetoed. And it was brought to me by an off-sale liquor store back home. And the situation is that they make their own ice when they sell to customers that come into their liquor store. And the way that the food handler's license is calculated, they use their entire total of gross sales in figuring the cost of their food handler's license. And when that changed a couple of years ago, for selling a minimal amount of their own ice, their food handler's license went from like $70 up to nearly $800. And what this bill does is give them the same exemption that those that sell prepackaged ice currently have, is that the amount of sales from their beverages do not count when they figure the license amount for their food handler's license for selling the ice that they make on premises, Madam Chair. It has a $6,000 fiscal note and would affect about 20-25 establishments in the state. And with this exemption, their licenses would decrease from, again, that $777 down to under $100. So a limited impact, but for those that are affected by this, it really affects their ability to to sell their own ice and such, and so it's a bill that we'd like to see included, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I just have a question about this year's version versus last year. Any changes?
No, it's identical, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Anyone who would like to testify in support or opposition to this bill? I don't see any. Representative Anderson.
Again, Madam Chair, I'd like to have House File 453 held over for possible inclusion in the Ag Finance Bill.
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. So House File 453 will be laid over. Now we have House File 759. And Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move House File 759 to be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus Ag Finance Bill.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. And again, we do have a fiscal note and the information in the packet. So go ahead, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It's probably 10 years, maybe 12 years ago now, we passed the venison donation program. And for new members and returning members, this is a cautionary tale of trying to make sure you don't actually write a number into law, because inflation happens and times change. And so it was $70 was a conference committee agreed upon term. And what I'm doing here is to provide the commissioner the ability to, so we don't have to come back every few years and change the number. We give the commissioner the authority to reimburse the processors for the cost of processing the donated venison, so they're not losing money when they're doing that. I know the department has a little concern with the word full. I think that on 1.8, processors, reasonable and documented cost helps with that, but we're laying it over, so hopefully it'll work out.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. So I guess I did have a question regarding that, because previously the language was may apply for reimbursement of $70 towards what the total cost might be, and this is actually saying that it would be funding the full cost. So, yes. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that would be the processors, the full reasonable and documented cost. So I'm thinking that the price is variable, probably over $100 now, depending on that. So we want to make sure that people are continuing to donate deer and that the processors are able to participate.
Thank you. Any questions of committee members? Is there anyone in the audience that wanted to testify in support or opposition to this bill? I don't see anyone, but Representative Hansen, we do have some questions. So Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. This is a good program, and if we can keep it going and help the lockers and such recover mm-hmm. a few more of their costs, I think it's a good program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Seeing no other questions, Representative Hansen, just concluding comments.
Thank you. I think it's a good fixer. We should maybe just look for more things like this, where maybe we've written a number in and times have changed. So just I think there probably are more, but I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you. So House File 759 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Ag Finance Bill. Thank you, Representative Hansen, and you are there. We have another bill, House File 2573. That one as well should be in our packets.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House File 2573 for possible inclusion, to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. So go ahead and provide your information.
House File 2573 is an effort to encourage outreach new potential farmer groups in Minnesota. This bill is a companion to a bill that Senator Herr introduced, and he gave it to me so that he would have a companion going. And the idea is we have a changing Minnesota and try to support that effort of getting people involved in farming.
Thank you. Do you have any testifiers?
I do not.
Okay. And is there anyone in the audience who wanted to come down and testify in support or opposition? I don't see any, so we'll just go to questions. And I think we have Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, was there a particular organization or person you worked with on drafting this language?
Representative Hansen.
Senator Herr gave me, Madam Chair, Senator Herr gave me the language. That was my involvement.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Vang.
Despite the, I see the good intention here, but I do have a few concerns. The language here is a little bit vague on who's going to be the coordinator here. You know, capital and land access is definitely a barrier to these farmers, and language barrier is another one as well. And so we know that employers have a history of struggling on recruiting, retaining, and hiring diverse staff, and so I'm concerned about who this coordinator is going to be. Another concern of mine is the designation of this money. There are already organizations and people working directly with these farmers already acting as a resource hub. And so I'm not sure if this is the best use of money. It's almost kind of like reinventing the wheel. You know, I would more likely support this bill if the language is changed to address the hiring process, as well as or designate the money to orgs, organizations, or people already working with these farmers, in which I prefer the latter. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Representative Bang. Representative Poston.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, my mind is right in line with your questioning. It seems to me that this might fit better with the two Minnesota State Agriculture Schools of Excellence, or the Minnesota Extension Program. Minnesota State at the two ag schools, South Central and Mankato and Central Lakes College and Staples, are already doing a lot of this work. They're managing people that do similar activities, and I think this might fit there a lot better than in the Department of Agriculture.
All right. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair and members, I am very open to any changes that need to be made and open to working with folks as it's laid over. I am happy to help people make it work.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members, comments, or suggestions from committee members? All right. I don't see anybody else. Okay. Representative Hansen, closing comments?
Happy to work with folks.
All right. House File 2573 is laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Ag Finance Bill. Okay. So we adjusted our time here. This is great. I just want to comment a little bit about Thursday. We've been talking about chronic wasting disease early on. We had some conversation about that. I'm trying to get to a point where we would have a bill that maybe we could move and have everybody kind of on board with. I'm not sure if we'll get there, but I've been trying to meet with a few people to get to that point. And I know that people have different perspectives and different maybe motivations, but it's a chronic wasting disease is a disease we don't want in our state. And if we can eliminate it, if we can find ways to address it, both in the science part of it, the medical part of it, however we're going to do that, and using best management practices just to make sure that we maintain it, contain it. That's the approach I'd like to take, but we will have some discussion on Thursday. So hopefully we will have maybe a bill or a version of an amendment that will be closer to some consensus, and I just wanted to make people aware of that. So we will likely be addressing that on Thursday, and just to know about that. So if you have other suggestions or considerations around that, feel free to contact me. I'd be happy to hear from other people about that. Anybody have any other comments or questions? Otherwise, yes, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And at the start of our committee hearing today, you did mention that we're going to have one more week before deadlines, right? And I know there's a couple bills that our members are passionate about. Representative Poston has a bill that he's been working on and very passionate about, and I guess if we have additional time, if we can have some of these bills, I can get up with you later on mm-hmm. the numbers and stuff, if we could possibly have the opportunity to have these bills heard.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, I don't see any other comments or questions, so with that, meeting adjourned.